cycling podcast Femina in association with Rafa. From grand tours to group rides, the Champs-Élysées to coffee stops, Rafa exists to celebrate the world's most beautiful sport.
You're listening to the cycling podcast Femina, powered by Skoda. Dedicated to closing the gender gap in cycling, one race, one cyclist at a time. This is our time. Today, we're in Colwyn Bay.
Stage 5 of the Oval Energy Women's Tour, and we're on the summit of Nant Gwynant, the climb, the big climb, the biggest climb of the whole race. And it's pretty wild, isn't it, Orla?
Just a bit. I'm laughing because you are absolutely soaking wet, and I'm sure that's exactly how I'm looking as well. It's pretty miserable up here, although at least the riders have a fair tailwind behind them.
Well, Marta Bassianelli was ahead, we heard, at the foot of the climb. I think this is her coming.
Yes, it will be, yeah. Ali Cipollini rider, a sprinter. She's had a really good season so far, but you would not expect her to be staying ahead, actually. Oh, actually, I mean, the peloton is right behind her. They're going to catch her by the end, yeah.
Yeah, there are two riders chasing her. Who are they, Orla? Well, it's Hannah Barnes is there.
Yeah, it's Hannah Barnes.
And then Elisa Longo-Borghini was fourth across the line there. And it's a big group. I would say about 40-odd riders there. It's a big old group, 40, 50 riders.
They're all getting their feed as well.
All the big names seem to be up there as well.
Yeah, I mean, there had been an earlier break of four riders. That was obviously caught. Marta then went ahead again. I mean, it looks like she's been reeled back in again. So that's the last Queen of the Mountains. So let's see what they do from here.
We kind of expected and hoped it to be a bit more broken up than that, I think. It was a tailwind up here, and I was expecting some really fast racing and maybe more splits.
No, it seemed pretty controlled, and all the big contenders were all in one big group. It didn't seem... I mean, people had dropped off the back, certainly, but no surprises.
Are we still doing Radiohead?
That's true. Well, we're not high and dry, are we?
Oh, we're high, but we're soaking wet.
Let's go to the finish. Well, we open tonight's final episode from the Oval Energy Women's Tour with a little clip of us standing, like looking like drowned rats on top of the mountain. It was wild up there, wasn't it?
Well, hello, Richard. I just realised you haven't said hello.
Hello, Rose. Hello, Orla.
Reversing into it there. Hello,
sometimes
Richard.
We do that, mix it up, you know? They know us by now.
Crazy.
But right now, it feels like a lifetime away being on that incredibly wet, misty, windy... It was very beautiful, but it was pretty nasty being up there. And it's beautiful and sunny here, isn't it?
Yeah, it feels like I've come to a different country,
season. We're at the finish in Colwyn Bay, thinking of Ciroscone Emilio here, because we're sitting on the beach drinking Snowdon Craft Lager, aren't we, Rose?
Are we doing a chin? Well, cheers. It's plastic, so you can't hear it.
I've got my mountain-filtered H2O, which is rather...
Anyway, the race is finished. Corin Rivera was the overall winner, as we kind of expected, although we perhaps expected more from the stage. We've got a lot to pack in tonight. We don't want to go on as long as we did last night. So let's get on with
entertaining
it.
Entertaining and all,
Let's get on with it.
What's
new, Orla?
What's new, Pussycat? Stage 5 was 122.6 kilometres from, I hope I get this right, Dolgellau. Let's play it. Pronunciation police. I can't do it that way. Dolgellau to Colwyn Bay. Now, it's not unusual for Maaike Bogaard to go on a break. She was the most combative rider of Stage 2 and tried it again today on Stage 5. She was only out front for about 7 kilometres before she was brought back, though. Then Emily Moberg of Virtue Cycling made a break. She was soon joined by Marta Taliaferro of Silence Pro Cycling. And shortly after that, Suzanne Anderson of High Tech Products. And they were then joined by Natalie Grinzer of WNT. Now, that quartet rode together, got a gap of 1 minute 45 at one stage, and they shared the first intermediate sprint with Moberg over the line first, Taliaferro second, and Grinzer in third. Now, the quartet was brought back on the first Queen of the Mountains, though, which was won by Lucinda Brand of Sunweb. Natalie Grinzer still up there, though. She came second for WNT. Corin Rivera of Sunweb third, and Ellen van Dijk of Sunweb in fourth. So Marta Bassianelli of Ali Cipollini then had a dig at the front. She had a 40-second advantage going into the second Queen of the Mountains. She held on enough to take the points at the top of...
In front of a small but appreciative crowd.
A small, appreciative and very wet crowd on top of Nant Gwynant. So she was only just ahead, though, at this stage of Georgia Williams of Mitchelton Scott, followed by Hannah Barnes, Elisa Longo-Borghini, and once again, Ellen van Dijk. It was an interesting climb because it had been hyped up all week as having the potential to really shake things up. And we were hoping for some of those funny, familiar, forgotten feelings almost of seeing the race blown wide open. But it was much gentler than we were expecting. And we spoke to a few of the riders afterwards who said pretty much, if I only knew, I would have attacked earlier. I think a few were surprised to reach the summit after so little effort. Julian Dora, though, did abandon at around this time, the stage one winner's race over. A few issues for some of the other key riders as well. Kashyan Iviadoma had a puncture, had to fight to get back on, and she later tweeted Bowles Dolmans to thank them for giving her a wheel. She is a lady, lovely to make sure to thank for that. Elisa Longo-Borghini had a crash as well, she had to get back on. And Gracie Elvin, another race abandoned. From here, though, with the race having not been split, it was about 50 kilometres to the finish and a lot of that downhill. One last intermediate sprint to come with Cora Novera consolidating her grip on the leader's jersey with maximum points and time bonuses. Mariana Voss second there, interestingly, and Christine Madjeris third. I say interestingly because Voss was safe enough in second, but her teammate Danny Rowe had started the day third and just a few seconds ahead of Madjeris and her teammate Amy Peters. So Voss soaked up a few of those vital seconds of time bonuses, keeping Rowe's podium spot safe unless one of her podium rivals won the stage. And as long, of course, as Rowe finished on the same time as everyone else. So it was a fight to the finish for her and the green, green grass of home, being an honorary Welsh girl. That, of course, though, extended Rivera's GC lead over Voss by another second. So the bunch charged for the line, 20 kilometres to go. We did have a brief escape out the front for Nivia Doma, Amy Peters, Elisa Longo-Borghini. Again, she's just been so active. Cora Novera and Lucinda Brand. They got a gap of 15 seconds, but even a group of that strength couldn't stay away, and it was brought back with 10 kilometres to go. It was a tough run-in with crosswinds off the coast in the final 4 kilometres. And in the end, it was Lotta Lepisto of Cervelo Bigla who won the final stage in Colwyn Bay. That was her first win this year and going one better than her second place finish on stage 4. Georgia Bronzini with her second place finish, and Mariana Voss once again in third. So after 5 days of racing and almost 700 kilometres, Corin Rivera wins her first ever stage race with the first ever winner of this race, Mariana Voss, in second, and a career best result on the road for Danny Rowe in third. Now Rivera also won the sprint jersey. Voss won the breast cancer care points jersey. Queen of the mountains, as she had been for most of the week, was Elisa Longo-Borghini, and the best British rider was Danny Rowe. Today's most combative rider was Natalie Grintzer of WNT, and the most combative rider overall, who do you think? Help yourself to pick of breakaway names. Micah Bogard of BTC Ljubljana. So the race packing up around us as we sit here on the waterfront. Thankfully, though, memories don't leave like people do, and I think we'll go away with plenty of lasting memories from the week. That is what's new, Pussycat.
Well, any clues as to tonight's theme?
Whoa!
Okay, we're in the land of Tom Jones.
Sort of.
Yeah.
He's Welsh and Wales.
Yeah. It was just
country.
I saw you scanning the start sheet for any Delilah or sister, looking even for sisters who might be called Delilah.
I thought, how much time do I have? I was going to Google every rider whose name I needed to mention anyway and see if any of them had a Delilah in their family. Then I was just going to make up, actually, that, because we did stop for a coffee, didn't we? I was going to make up that our waitress was called Delilah, but I had no reason to put her into the race report.
Anyway, there were enough references there.
You kept the truth.
The truth will out. Exactly. Yes.
So once again, if you can tell us how many Tom Jones references, I think mainly song titles.
They're all song titles. Maybe an album, but yeah, they're
so
titles
tell us how many,
lyrics.
And maybe we'll send you a prize. But we're a bit of a backlog there on the prizes. Need to go back through.
No, we just need to get on it. This is a job for me.
This is a job for me. No, we haven't. We're going to do this.
We'll do that in the coming days.
So
you can still get your answers in. That means
we can. You can. Yep. We will fulfill our promises. But we'll talk about the race in part two. In part one, we're just going to hear a bit from Lotta Lepisto, the stage winner, a sprinter. And I don't think we would have expected a sprinter like Lotta Lepisto to win today. We were expecting this. I think everybody was expecting a bit more from the stage in terms of being a selection and being smaller groups coming to the finish. But it was a big old group at the finish. So you spoke to Lotta Lepisto at the finish, Rose. Let's hear from her now.
Lotta, you must be chuffed after the season you've had.
Yes, yeah, definitely. The first win of the season, and yeah, I've been looking forward it. So, finally.
And that, how does it feel at the end of a week where your team's been pushing all week to have this win?
It's been a hectic week. Like, we didn't have the best start. Definitely not me. I was having really bad legs the first 3 days, and then suddenly yesterday they opened up a little bit, and today they were much better.
And did you have confidence after yesterday coming second?
Of course I had my doubts, but the others didn't, so that was the most important thing.
Lepisto, the winner there, she'd been getting closer. And you also, I think you, Rose, spoke to Corinne Rivera, the overall winner. Shall we hear from her?
Yes.
Corinne, it seems that the team had it in control all day, all week.
Yeah. I don't think it's a GC win for me. I think it's a GC win for everybody because we were just riding like machines all days and letting certain attacks go and just controlling the day. So, yeah, we were never in panic. We're always in control, and I think that's a big strength of ours.
And how does that feel to be a GC winner? Is that a bit odd? Another thing, it's another string to your bow?
Yeah, to be honest, it is a little weird to think about. But, you know, the way that this stage race is, it really does suit me and my strengths. And I'm in really good shape right now. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really, I guess, growing into a different rider. But, yeah, it's cool.
And how was that there was a breakaway of five, including you and Brand, at the end? Who set that off? And did you have to tag on to the end of it, or did you start that?
Yeah, I think it was like Kasia and Amy, and then Lucinda covered that. And then I was actually sitting on Longo Borghini, and she bridged across. So I came across with her, and they were working pretty well together. And then coming into along the coast, they kind of set up. So, but yeah, we were always in control. I had Lucinda there to help me, and yeah, I was never in a panic today.
I mean, we've all been waiting for this stage, and it was billed as the, you know, the mountainous stage. It's hard terrain around here in Wales, but there were two issues. One was the distance from the final climb to the finish. It was a long way. There was a tailwind up the climb, and we drove up it. It wasn't as steep as we perhaps expected.
We all remarked how it would be lovely for us to ride up, and I think whenever you say that when you're driving up a climb, you know that it's not maybe a good test for the professionals. It was lovely. It was a gentle climb. You know, it was one with beautiful scenery, and you would think, yeah, if I had my bike here, this would be wonderful. It's certainly not a difficult challenge for the riders themselves. Yeah, we were so surprised standing at the top to see the bunch still together that it hadn't been split apart as we had anticipated. But it seems the reason for that is the riders didn't realise that they were at the top already. Here's Kasia Niviadoma.
Kasia, can I have a really quick word? Thank you. Oh, sorry. It looked like today could have been the decisive day, that it could all have been blown apart on the climbs. It didn't turn out to be that way. Talk us through the climbs.
Because, you know, we were expecting to have longer and steeper climbs, and especially the second one, which was first category, everyone was like, okay, it's going to be brutal, it's going to be tough, we've got to start it super early to separate the bunch. But it turns out that it was pretty steady, metal climb, and it wasn't hard enough. And I was like, okay, when the climb starts, and then I saw this banner, it was like, oh wow, okay, it's over. It was hard, but like steady, you know, so it's hard to make any difference. And yeah, actually it was a nice race. Like, I've been enjoying it. And also Corinne is really well-deserved winner, so I'm super happy for her.
Smiles all over your team's faces here. Yeah. So, I mean, you seem to be happy enough. You didn't come with a stage win, rather go away with a stage win. No big results, but you feel that the team have done a good job?
Yeah, that's the thing, that we missed having a victory or really great result, but we knew that we tried our best and we were working hard and trying to create a perfect scenario for us. And yeah, the smiles on our faces that we managed to stay out of the crashes or other bad luck, so it's really good for us, and yeah, we worked hard, and that's, you know, there's always a nice satisfaction. So,
and in the last 10 kilometers, you pushed into a group of, I think it was about five. You maybe could have kept that away and gone for the finish line as a select group. That would have suited you quite well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I was actually pretty happy with this group, but I knew that, of course, we have still like two sprinters, Corinne and Amy Peters, in our group, so I knew that going for victory it might be impossible, but then I was thinking maybe I could attack one more time and try to go solo. But then we like kind of started to hesitate, and then Peloton called us back, and I was kind of waiting for another opportunity to attack, but it was like already too fast, and there were like trains towards the finish line, and we also were having another plan that if it comes to a bunch sprint, then we go for our sprinter Lisa. So, yeah.
So that was Kasia Niewiadoma. Somebody else I spoke to with before and after the race, actually, Dani Rowe, because we were keen to follow her progress after her crash yesterday. She actually put out a Twitter appeal last night asking for an ice compression machine, if anybody could bring one to her. And we knew from her Twitter account that somebody did actually bring one. But I wanted to see just how her recovery had gone, how she felt ahead of the stage. And also I caught up with her at the very end as well. Great to see you've been able to spin the legs this morning. How did that feel?
Yeah, a lot better than I thought it would. A lot better than it was last night. I just did everything I could to try and get myself in the best shape I could today. I'm going to have to push to the finish. You know, I'm so determined to finish this race as strongly as I've started it. So, yeah, bring it on.
You sent out a bit of a mercy mission on mercy appeal rather on Twitter last night. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it worked. I couldn't believe it. I was just looking for an ice compression machine. I've used them before with like soft tissue injury. They really help. A guy, called Gary, drove from, I think he's from Cirencester, but he was in Cardiff at the time. Drove all the way to Telford and then back. So about a 4-hour round trip. Never met the guy before in my life. So yeah, absolutely amazing. Very kind. Feel like I've been run over, but I'm happy. So I think it'll be fine.
Hi, my name's Sarah Story. I'm a cyclist with Story Racing, and I support Skoda's campaign to close the gender gap in cycling, one race, one cyclist at a time. This is our time. I started cycling as a cross-training tool while I was still a swimmer. I had a series of ear infections in 2005, and it was keeping me out of the water, so I used a bike as a way of keeping fit. And by the time my ear infections had cleared up, I was absolutely hooked on cycling.
Thank you very much to Škoda for sponsoring the cycling podcast Femina. They have helped us be here covering the Oval Energy Women's Tour, and they're going to be backing the cycling podcast Femina for the rest of the year, and that's great news. And it will allow us to go to more races and bring you more coverage of women's racing, which is what we want to do, and we want to keep building that, don't we? I think.
Oh, yeah.
After this week especially.
I've enjoyed it. Yeah,
it's been good. It's been good. But the race itself now. You know, we've given it the Grand Tour treatment. We've billed it as, you know, the world's premier women's stage race. And I think in terms of organisation, crowds, in terms of lots of elements, it deserves that description. But I think there is a little bit of disappointment among the organisation too, that the race has, basically seen big sprints most days. Stage 2 was the most selective day. Now, I think that's a testament also to just the higher standard of women's racing. Because I think 5 years ago, a lot of these stages would have seen smaller groups coming in. The standard's gone up, and there are stronger teams now who are able to control the racing for longer. So in order to develop and take it to the next level, it needs something else.
Yeah, I think it's no coincidence that the one stage we identified before the start of the race in our preview episode as having the potential in terms of the climbing position to animate the race did. I mean, stage 2, the climbs came less than 2 kilometres from the end, and I think that made a difference. The racing itself has been really exciting for the most part. Another thing that we did say in the preview, though, was that Rose, you had mentioned that the style of racing here and the style of the roads that we get here can, of themselves, be quite conducive to aggressive racing and grippy racing. And I remember making the point that it was up to the teams to make it so, and it wasn't just a case of looking at the race profile and seeing what was on offer, but for the teams to really bring the racing to this race and to try to animate it. Some of the teams really did that, not all of the teams did. I think Bowles Dolmans were disappointing for me, for example. I was really impressed by Wild Eels, though. Sunweb did a wonderful job of doing what they had to do, which unfortunately is closing the race down. But they did what they had to do, and they did it incredibly well. I think it is a case now of we've gotten to a stage in women's racing whereby we've got a certain level of racing, and the women's tour has built and grown over the last couple of years, and I think it now needs to move a step forward, and I think it needs to become more difficult, and it's not about longer stages, it's about a more testing parkour, and I think that the race is more than ready for it, and we see that this year because we have had the position of being able to actually follow the racing, and you can't say that with much conviction of previous editions because we haven't been here, but I feel, having been here, that certainly the peloton is ready for it, the bigger teams in the race are ready for it, and it's what the racing needs. I think we need a more challenging route next year, but like I say, it's up to the teams to take that the race on in whatever format that is as well.
But that's true. I mean, I think the teams have kind of come here, not that they don't want to be aggressive, but the teams have come here in kind of two camps. One camp is, we've just got a sprint team, we've got loads of fast finishers, and that's all we've got. And the other side of the coin is, like Canyon SRAM say, where they've got loads of climby people.
It's become a podcast word. I like it. Climby.
Climby people. Climby people.
But because you've got these, you've almost got kind of a battle between these two styles of teams at this race. And it's really, it's normally easier for those sprinters teams to have their way. And you kind of have to have more teams that are in the climby people.
I want to live like climby people. Sorry, I had that in my head.
You have to have more teams that are like Canyon SRAM or Bols Dolmans that have that kind of selection of riders, so that there are more teams that are willing to work together to make it aggressive. So as much as, however aggressive Canyon SRAM or Bols Dolmans wanted to be, it's much easier to nullify that if you've got quite a few sprinters teams, like Mitchelton Scott were very sprinty. I mean, Cervelo Bigler had Lotte La Pista, and they obviously wanted to get a result for her, and they did. But I think the kind of sprinty team, I'm saying sprinty and climby.
I like it though.
The sprinters teams got the glory, didn't they, in the end?
They did. One of the teams you mentioned, Canyon SRAM, did do a lot to make the racing aggressive, and had a real go every day. And we saw even today, Hannah Barnes was off the front over the top of the climb. I spoke to her at the finish just about her race, and also she had a couple of thoughts about what the race could do to break things up a bit more in the future.
We saw you, we were on the climb actually, we saw you get away towards the top.
Yeah.
Tell us what happened on that climb.
So it was actually a little bit annoying because it was a tailwind. So we wanted to make it hard, so I was going to attack at the bottom and then hopefully it would get caught back, and then Aliona and Kasia could have a go too, but unfortunately it was a tailwind, so it was really hard to split. But it was good. It meant I had quite an easy ride up it, but the peloton was a lot bigger than
Were you surprised at how, because it was still a big group up there, how sort of controlled it was?
Yeah, I am actually. I'm surprised that it was so controlled actually. I thought this was going to be a super hard stage and everyone was going to go crazy, but didn't seem like that was the case. So I just think yesterday somewhere I've had a really hard day, so everyone is expecting them to be quite tired, but they're just a strong team. So but yeah, and then I just was feeling I've been quite sick the last couple of days. I had a stomach bug, so but I felt okay today, and we're going to have a go for me at the finish, but it was just so crazy out there. So yeah, it's just it's been good. It's just maybe next year we could do like a mountaintop finish or something, just to open the race up a bit, or have a time trial or something like that, because I think it just comes down to all the sprints, and all the teams just want to keep it down, to keep it together really for the finish, which makes it not as fun.
So that was Hannah Barnes of Canyon SRAM. A little bit disappointed. She said she's been unwell, actually, fighting a bit of illness the last couple of days, a stomach bug. But she also, when we're talking after we'd finished recording, she suggested even a split stage one day, you know, with a time trial maybe. A short mountain stage in the morning with a summit finish, and then a time trial in the afternoon, which sounds very audacious, but why not? I mean, I think this race has got so much going for it. It just needs a little, there are a few other things that it needs, and one of them is a course that will attract the best riders and produce the best winner.
And the best riders of the different disciplines as
this
well.
This is not to, I don't, this sounds like denigrating Corinne Rivera. Great credit to her, you know, and this has
no,
been a real
breakthrough
performance
for her.
But it
has come back to the same kind of a race at the end of each stage. And so it rewards the same kinds of teams and it rewards the same kinds of riders. And I think that is a point that Barry Austin made to me as well, the DS of Canyon SRAM, saying that what you really need if it's going to be the absolute pinnacle of racing is you need an opportunity for every kind of rider. So, you know, the basic that we're talking is, I guess, a mountain, at least a mountain stage, a sprint stage and a time trial stage. And then at least you've got those three bases covered and you can fill in all the rest as you wish. Obviously, if organising a bike race was that simple, everybody would be doing it. And they are restricted by the towns that want to have them, who will pay the money to have them as host start towns or finish towns, and you know all the complications that go into it. However, I think if you're looking at it purely from a racing point of view, if you have at least those three elements, then you're off to an incredibly good start, and everything else is not padding on the side, but everything else is a cherry on the cake, I guess.
But it's also logistically for the team slightly difficult, because I know that was it last year that the Tour of California used to put in a team time trial, but the whole logistics of all of these teams also having a full set of TT bikes and sending them over, obviously it's much easier for most of the teams to bring time trial bikes to the UK than it would be to ship them over all the way to California, but those are still logistical issues and also issues of expense that, you know, you want to have the best, all of the teams there, really. And you know, might that exclude some teams? I'm not sure. It probably wouldn't, but it is another thing that the organisers have to think about.
And it's one thing having, you know, on paper, the perfect route with the perfect stages. But as you said, Orla, the race needs local authorities to be able to help fund it. That's the model. And, you know, while other races, other top-class women's races are disappearing, this race does go from strength to strength. Mm. I spoke at the start to Guy Elliott, whose idea this was way back before the Women's Tour launch. He took the idea, I think, to Sweet Spot. He's still very involved in the event. I spoke to him about, including about TV coverage, because we get asked a lot about why is it not on television. I spoke to the chief executive of Sweet Spot a few days ago about this. Now, he talked about the challenges of that in terms of 4G coverage and so on. Live streaming is the next step. They want to do that next year. But the race will have to go places where there's good 4G coverage. TV,
which we haven't had an awful lot of in this race.
No. Live TV coverage is another, you know, the numbers have got to make sense for that to make financial sense, and it costs an awful lot of money to do it. So, but at the same time, you know, turn on Eurosport every day and there's some men's race on being broadcast live, and you wonder how that is viable, and this isn't. It's
and also you've got to go back to where we're coming from. You know, it's still a fairly new race and it is still growing. And if you think, for example, this is the first time that we as a cycling podcast have covered every single stage, and for our listeners that means that they're able to follow the race in much more detail, and they're able to follow many more narratives of the race, and that hopefully then encourages more interest as well. So all of these things grow, and then that's how you get the demand up, and that's how you get the numbers, and that's how the financial figures start to make sense.
It is like a bit of a vicious cycle, though, that kind of thing. It's that typical thing in cycling where it's like sponsors want the media coverage, and the media coverage, you know, you need the sponsors to get the media coverage. So it's kind of like
But it can be a virtuous circle as well, can't it? If you start to build on it, you know, it's like we keep saying, if you build it, they will come. You know, and I think that's part of what we're doing as well, isn't it?
All is optimism.
always there. Well, I spoke to Guy Elliott. Here he is at the start this morning in
Dalgechlai. Is it?
I'm happy with how it's gone. I wouldn't like to see a bunch sprint every day, so we want the race to be selective. I think some people think it's a sprint. You know, one or two people say it's a sprinter's fest, but if you take the Daventry finish, for example, on stage 3, I think, it was brutal, the finishing circuit, but we've still got a group of 20 coming in, and the riders say they're not finding the courses easy at all. So probably, like, you know, if I feel a little defensive, that's that area. I'd like to clear that up. But I think today is going to be very interesting, because some teams haven't really delivered too much, and there's some big firepower out there. I would expect something quite brutal to happen today.
The other thing people ask about is TV coverage, of course. What needs to happen to make that viable?
I'm glad you've asked that. That's the other area. If you want to do live TV, you either need a 4G signal or you need a helicopter and other technology above the race. We can't afford a helicopter and a plane above the race. That's expensive for 5 days, 2 or 3 hours a day. We need 4G. Just this morning, we've had no phone coverage coming here. I think extensive areas with no 4G, so we just can't do it at the moment. So I think when we do make the step to live, which we will, it'll be jumping straight to that, and that's just a question of money. To do TV production for the 5 days highlights, I can't discuss commercially sensitive information, but it's a lot of money. It's over £100,000. And just to give you an idea, to turn that into live production is something like 3 times that amount. It's a significant amount of money. We know people are frustrated about it. In fact, if you think about it, I was thinking about this the other night, they're frustrated, but when we set the race up, everyone said nobody would watch it, so it's a nice problem to have. But that's why we have no 4G signal, and they do abroad, and that's why smaller races manage to do it, and why we can't.
The crowds are fantastic. You showed me a clip just there of the crowds that you get a better view of, because you're driving on the course and we're driving off course, but they're fantastic. But if there's one thing that, if you could sum up the change and the way that this race has developed since it was first run in 2014, has there been anything this week that has just underlined to you how far it's come?
Yeah, I think there's greater awareness. So probably in the first year, of course we had school kids, and we got school kids out and did a lot of work behind that. But then we had club cyclists as well, and now everybody's out. I live in the village of Inkborough in Worcestershire. We went through it yesterday. There'd been very little advanced publicity, and there were crowds. I think there's a greater awareness, and it's picking up year on year.
So that was Guy Elliott at the start this morning, and he was honest enough to say that, you know, he doesn't want the race to end with a bunch sprint, to have stages that look kind of similar at the finish every day. I think that out on the road they've looked quite different, and there has been a lot of aggression and so on, but that's not been reflected in the result. So they'll take that forward into planning for next year, I'm sure. At the finish, I also spoke to somebody who's got lots of experience of racing in this country and elsewhere, and her team has been racing here with some credit this week. In fact, corrections corner, last night, yes. when I claimed Flirty Mackay is the only Scottish rider in the race.
And of course not even a Scottish rider in the race.
There are two Scottish riders
actual.
In the race. Evans of Story Racing was ninth in the bunch sprint into Worcester, which is a very good result. And well done to her. Terrible, awful
Sorry,
oversight.
Nia, there's no comedy value in your name, and that's why Richard forgets.
Awful oversight. Sounds Welsh, frankly.
Yeah, it does a little bit.
So,
but she is actually Scottish.
She is Scottish. So two Scots women in the race. Anyway, I spoke to Sarah Story at the finish, Dame Sarah Story, who came along for the day. She is going to return to racing herself soon as well. And she's got some interesting thoughts on the race and where women's racing is at. Here she is. I guess you've been following the race from afar. How has it felt to not be riding here?
Yeah, it's been interesting following from afar. I've actually been on a bit of social media duty when the guys who are on the tour can't do that for our team Story Racing. But it's also good, it gives you a different perspective, because you can think about the tactical elements and you're picking up different bits on the feeds that are going out and talking to the team car. And it makes me want to be back on the race at some point soon.
What have been your thoughts on the race? How far has this race come, and how does this year's edition compare, do you think, to previous years?
I think it gets harder every year. The parkour is always that little bit tougher, and the sort of showcase finish here in Colwyn Bay after a trip through Snowdonia is just epic. I think the riders will be talking about how tough it was today, and off the back of 4 really tough days, there's been some hideous crashes for certain riders. I think Elisa Longo Borghini looked like she might have broken something at some point and jumped back up and finished to claim that Queen of the Mountains jersey. So some really, really tough women, obviously Danny Rowe crashing yesterday as well, and people who've crashed out of the tour. Really, really tough event, but I think everyone's sort of glad to be here and have made some gains from being in such a tough race for 5 days.
And yeah, it's testament to the overall standard, isn't it, that a stage like today, a hard stage in that weather as well, such a big group comes to the finish. It shows how the standard of women's racing has probably gone up over the last few years.
And I think it's been a tough stage from the speed of it as well. So the standard has gone up, the speed has gone up, and the number of women in the finish is even bigger than it has been in the past. So yeah, it's a huge testament to the way that the teams are working, and also to smaller teams. You know, I'm obviously really proud of the Story Racing riders sticking in there. They don't race the World Tour very often, and they've stuck in there. We had three girls very, very close to the front today. But the speed of the race, to get a break off the front with that, the girls that were in the break, hugely impressive. And it's just fantastic to see. You just didn't know if Corinne was going to hang on, because if somebody had got the bonus points, all the jerseys were very hotly contested right the way through, and to be able to race at that speed on a final day with the sort of hills that they've had, it does show just how far everything's come, and again the standard's gone up.
But is the next step in the development of it to make it even more challenging and testing, and perhaps, I mean, I spoke to Hannah Barnes to finish here, she said a time trial, you know, a summit finish, these kind of things. Would you like to see these in the next couple of years?
I think a time trial always adds things to the mix. It's very hard to race this sort of race 5 days straight without a time trial in there. So I think the time trial is the next place to go, a team time trial, or even add in a prologue as well. A lot of the biggest stage races in the world sometimes usually have a prologue or a short stage and then a time trial stage in there, and absolutely a summit finish. I was over in Llandudno last night and I was up the Great Orme this morning thinking, well, what a finish it would be up something like this with a really steep ascent that it is. But yeah, definitely, there's a lot of places we could take that in terms of a summit finish. And a time trial day brings what the tour is after as well. It's a huge engagement opportunity because you've got everybody in one place for one day. You could have an expo where the teams are all allocated a half hour to meet the fans, and that brings another level of engagement. This tour engages better than any other tour, I think, because the riders are there, the fans are there, it's just so accessible, and a time trial stage would add even more accessibility and an even more engagement, so it'd be a massive positive. And I know the organisers are after more days, so that's about you know, applying for more days and having that given to them by British Cycling and then obviously the UCI.
The cycling podcast Femina is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Thank you very much to Science in Sport for sponsoring the cycling podcast Femina. I hesitate to give you the code because it might be too late by the time you hear this. But if, in case it's not, if it's before midnight,
quick.
If it's before midnight, I think it ends today. Women's Tour 30 for 30% off all your Science in Sport products. And I'm sure lots of you have been taking advantage of that offer. Orla's husband as well.
He has, yeah, he was on it last night. Very
she
excited.
Yeah.
She has been, yeah.
Yeah,
oops,
yeah.
Oops.
Oh dear, almost gave it away.
The
Science
other Mrs.
Shinnery
in the household.
Anyway, a quick bit of any other business before we get to the bigger any other business at the end. And we're going to hear a little package in a moment. But last night we had an interview with Audrey Cordon-Rigaud, the Wiggle High Five rider, who was quite unhappy that Cecilie Uttrup-Ludvig, the Cervelo Bigler rider who she'd been in the breakaway with on Saturday, had said to her that she would slip back after the intermediate sprint. So Uttrup-Ludvig won the sprint, and the deal had been that she would only work with the break and then go back because she was an overall threat. And Audrey Cordon-Rigaud was quite unhappy that she hadn't kept to her side of the bargain by staying in the group and thereby ruining their chances of staying away to fight out for the stage win. She did say that it was her DS, Thomas Campagna, who had actually made the call rather than Cecilie. But nevertheless, I went out and found Cecilie Uttrup-Ludvig this morning at the start just to ask her about what happened. Here's what she had to say. She said she thought you were going to drop back after the sprint. Was there an agreement there? No comment.
Yeah, I am. Well, yeah, I think that it was a kind of a misunderstanding. But anyway, I got other orders from my DS.
Well, you were there and in a potentially race-winning situation, weren't you?
Yeah. I got orders from the DS, and then you listen. And yeah, then what happened, happened.
I think what was so intriguing about that was not what she actually said, but how she said it.
Hashtag orcs.
Yeah.
Ever there was a call for that.
I was
terrible.
Just standing, awesome. Just near the Trek Drops bus, and I could just see Richard catching Cecily, and she's normally so bright and sparky, and then she just completely, whoom, completely deadpan when he asked the question. But,
Yeah, it was a slightly awkward question for her because clearly She'd said one thing to Audrey Cordon-Rigaud and then been told to do something else by her director sitting in the car behind her. And you don't really want to go against Thomas Campagna, do you?
Oh,
he's
no.
quite a formidable character. So I can imagine she was in an awkward position. Incur the wrath of Audrey Cordon-Rigaud or Thomas Campagna.
Which would be worse? Who would you back in a fight between those two?
They're both quite formidable.
Should we set it up? like a little exhibition event.
We can do an episode tomorrow with that.
Pugilism.
gladiator style.
It's a great idea. We're gonna hear a little package you've been working on mainly, Rose.
Yes.
I think, or exclusively,
well,
in fact.
No, I think you spoke to.
It was sort of inspired by a comment that Jocelyn Ryan made to us a while ago about the women's tour as an event. She said that not only is it obviously one of the biggest women's races in the world, but it's also an event at which a lot of women work and fulfil key roles in the organisation and the running. And you've spoken to a few of those people and also some of the women involved in running the teams as well.
I have, and I'm annoyed because there's also a commissaire and I never managed to get hold of her because the commissaires move in mysterious ways. But there's just there's women across the board. It wasn't so much about being a woman at a bike race, but it was more just to kind of reflect all the different roles that there are that put on a great race like this and all the work that goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, the women's tour has been amazing so far. It's really well organized. The road book is amazing. Carmen Small and Team Virtue Sports Director. The hospitality of the accommodations is great as well. Everything is taken care of. Even coming to the race today, I was like, wow, the signage is really great. And they've done a really, really top of the line job of preparing for this race. And yeah, I'm impressed.
My name is Carol Lee and I am the Chief Judge and Timekeeper on the OVO Energy Women's Tour. I have one other lady working with me, Judy, and I have four men. To be honest, your gender is irrelevant in my opinion. It is more capability and the best people for the role that is on offer.
And how do you enjoy working at the Women's Tour?
Yeah, it's very relaxed, it's very nice, it's a lovely atmosphere, the riders are very friendly and yeah, we work as one team.
I'm Gerike Schreurs, I'm from the Netherlands and I'm a soigneur for Silence Pro Cycling. It's really good organized and I enjoy a lot, also the people all on the side of the road, all the crowds and everything. And yeah, it's good so far, it's really good. Yeah, I drive the camper always, also from our surf schools in Spain to all the races. And then after the race to the hotel, and from the hotel to the start. But that goes all fine, yeah. Well, it's important, of course, that they get all the drinks and the food for during the race. And then make sure that we have some feedings during the race, feeding zones to give bottles. And after the race, we make always a nice lunch, so they can eat a good lunch, have some fruit, some yogurt, things like that.
And is there a good kind of atmosphere between the other soigneurs, with the other soigneurs from the other teams?
Oh yes, yes, really good. It's always nice to see them in the feeding, or we talk before the race, like where are you going, and maybe sometimes you can go with another team, and no, it's a really good atmosphere.
My name's Hannah, and I cover the blackboard at the Women's Tour of Britain.
What's it like being in a job that people consider as a man's job when it actually doesn't take a man to do it at all?
I think it's quite interesting, actually, some of the responses. So for this tour, I think there's been a few questions and a few funny jokes about me being a lady. But I don't think gender stops you from performing the role. And actually, I think it's really nice to see a lady working in amongst a group of guys. And it's just a great fun role. It doesn't make a difference whether you're male or female, really.
I'm Rebecca Charlton and I'm hosting the highlight show on ITV4 each evening from the OVO Energy Women's Tour. I started racing as an under 10 and I would have absolutely loved something like the Women's Tour back then, and I just dreamt of having something like this in my own country. So to see this to the level it is now is such an exciting thing, and I actually got real butterflies reporting on the first stage, because it is something that I just didn't expect to see happen, actually, and it's developed quite quickly relatively.
It's a very well organised, the crowd support has been fantastic, the support from the organisation in terms of accommodation and provision of resources has been very, very good. My name's Kim Palmer and I'm the Director Sportive for Wiggle High Five. Well, I've been involved with the sport from a coaching perspective and as an ex-rider for 30 years, I suppose, coaching for 20 years. I was also very fortunate to be a recipient of the UCI Women's Scholarship and did the UCI Director's course 2 years ago. So that has inspired me to continue my work in this area. It's a tough gig being on the road all the time, and particularly if you've got a family. I've got two small children, an 8-year-old and a 7-year-old, and yeah, it does take a lot of time to be away and living sort of the life out of a suitcase. And there's not a lot of positions as well, so it's quite few and far between, and particularly coming from Australia, it's quite hard to sort of get your foot in the door. But I think too, a lot of the women take other career pathways and contribute back to the sport in many other ways.
Well, the Women's Tour, I think, is it's unbelievably professional in terms of the way that it presents itself to the women and treats the women. So the women are treated exactly as this organisation would treat the men's, because of course they run the Men's Tour of Britain as well. So I think that the women appreciate that very much. My name is Jocelyn Ryan and my role is team liaison. Team liaison is a little bit of a sort of a problem-solving job, in that the team managers, the riders, etc. would come to me if they've got a little problem. Maybe they've lost their accreditation or their frame number is broken and they need a new one. It's, you know, where's this, where's that, how can I find, etc. So I also do the podium. So at the end of the race, we sort out who's won what, and we get them in and bring them to the back of the podium, and then I sort of stand behind the podium and effectively shove them up in turn in the order that they should be going on.
A community around the world, stories and films with the most compelling characters, the world's finest apparel. Explore the world of cycling with Rafa.
Thank you very much to Rafa, our headline sponsor of the cycling podcast Femina. We gave the penultimate Pedalers de Charme t-shirt today to EJ Harris at the start. She was delighted, obviously. If you want to know why she won Pedalers de Charme, listen to last night's episode.
Can I just say that that's your default description for the reaction to any rider to getting a Pedalers de Charme t-shirt? They were delighted.
Sometimes it's tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, right. But you just don't know when.
But today it wasn't. There's a subtle difference in my intonation.
Oh, I see. I haven't noticed that.
Which, you know, if you're listening regularly to the podcast,
you pick up on that.
She was genuinely delighted. I think everybody this week has been genuinely delighted to win it, rather than faking it like some of the blokes do.
They don't even bother to fake it, though, do they?
They're just like, oh. No, I'm only joking, by the way. They're all very thrilled. They're all very thrilled to win it. Anyway, so we're going to do a final one. We want nominations for that, and we'll organise that over the next couple of days, some kind of poll. An overall Pedalers de Charme from the OVO Energy Women's Tour. Send us your nominations with a brief reason why. I'm putting you on the spot here, but do you have any?
I will go for Elisa Longo-Borghini, because she has really animated the race. She's been present and active on every single stage. It's not been a race that she could necessarily win because it's not been climby enough. but I've loved how she's really taken the race by the scruff of the neck. The race would have been all the poorer without her. And I think that should be the definition of a Pedalers de Charme.
Nice.
Mariana Voss. Mm. I was in a little panic there. But then Mariana Voss is an obvious choice, because to have a champion like that work so hard for Danny Rowe, setting up for those intermediate sprints and finishing so high all the time, but also mainly because today is Father's Day. And I have to say, I don't know how you did, Richard, but me and Orla, I don't think we did a very good Day.
No.
I don't think my dad won't have received the card that I sent. But Mariana Voss,
happy Father's Day to my dad. That's as good as it got.
The traditional happy Father's Day to you. But Mariana Voss, despite getting a podium place on GC at the OVO Energy Women's Tour and, you know, racing every single day, also bought her dad a card and a present on Father's Day, and he was delighted. So she's put us all to shame. So I think that's why she should be Pedalers de Charme.
She is
a very strong nomination, no doubt about it. On the subject of Rafa.
What's yours? You haven't said yours.
It was going to be Voss or Longo-Borghini.
Oh, what a What a cop-out.
I don't know who to suggest otherwise. Well, I spoke to Mel Lowther at the finish, WNT rider, and she famously, of course, didn't ride in the time trial at the Commonwealth Games because they forgot to enter her for it. And so I asked her, we'll hear from her a bit later, but I asked her at the finish, you know, what she'd enjoyed about this week, just racing. She was glad that her team had remembered to enter her. Because she's not raced much this year at all, so she's had a terrible start to the year. She actually lives with Manon Lloyd, who crashed out the other day near Manchester, and she's off home not far from here tonight. She said that she's taking Manon for a scan tomorrow on her hip. She's still in a lot of pain from the crash that she had and is struggling to recover from that. So we wish her the best of luck. So I'll go for Mel Lowther. On the subject of Rafa, we're being filmed by Rafa at the moment for Rafa Race Radio, and this will be coming out in the next few days.
They
don't work as quickly as we do. I mean, this podcast will be out tonight, but they'll be coming
maybe
out
a little bit more crafting goes into it. Though
they've been filming us all day, haven't they?
Worried
about that?
Just a little bit, because we did look a little bit sodden on top of Nant Gwynant, didn't we? It wasn't maybe our finest hour. But yeah, we give them access all areas. Behind the scenes exclusive access. Yeah, they watched us talk rubbish and eat rubbish, basically. Mm. It's been good fun. I've enjoyed it.
It's been great.
Well, on the subject of that, what's been your highlight of the women's tour? We're about to hear another little package from some of the riders and people around the race selecting their highlights. But what's been yours?
Race-wise, my highlight was stage two, really. Queen of the Mountain, stage two, because that's what really shook the race up. And I really enjoyed that. Off the race, I have to say, it's something that Rafa Race Radio unfortunately did not capture. But our collective car karaoke last night on the drive to Wales was something that will live long in my memory and in my eardrums. We had renditions of, well, Bohemian Rhapsody was one of my favourite. Richard's thunderous, out of time clapping from the back seat was an experience to behold. I didn't know it was possible to enjoy music in such a fashion.
You didn't know I was such a good clapper.
I didn't know it was possible to be bad at clapping. I mean, who would have thunk it?
It was shocking.
I've seen you moonwalk.
If anything, it's a talent to be bad at it.
In the loosest possible term before, but I've never seen that clapping. And Rose's headbanging.
Oh yes,
was truly.
I did actually videoed some of this. I videoed some of this. I might make this available to Rafa Race Radio.
I didn't know you were videoing at the time.
No,
but that was my highlight. That was a fun journey last night. I really enjoyed it. It was good.
Well, we've got 4.5 hours of fun coming up all the way back to London. Can't wait. And Rose, what about you?
Well, I have to say, that all the people that have come up to us at the beginning of stages, at the end of stages, and just come up and had a nice word, had a chat, and met us has been absolutely wonderful. It's one of the best things I've ever been a part of, I think, this podcast this week. Honestly.
Wow, something in my eye.
It's a bit of sand from the beach.
I think, yeah.
But it's been tremendous. I mean, people have just been, have received it so well. I think it just shows that there is a huge market for a huge market for women's cycling. There's a huge interest in it, and people want to know those kind of little stories that go on, the context of the race, and I think it's a good sign. But it's been wonderful.
Richard?
I agree. I mean, I was going to say also, just being here and covering the race in the way that we have, it was something we've really wanted to do all year, and we've been planning towards it and hoping we could do it, and we've been able to do it thanks to the sponsors that we have. But we wanted to, we've been here at the race before for odd stages. We haven't been here the whole time. And when you're here the whole time and exposed to the race every day, seeing the riders at the start and the finish every day, you absorb so much more about what's going on in the race. And we knew that if we were here just present, we'd hopefully be able to put that across somehow in the podcast and give people a much better flavour of the race. And I hope we've done that.
And of women's racing in general, really. Because it's not
general.
Just this race, but because, you know, we don't get to go to very many races. I think I feel like I've got an idea of the flavour of women's racing, even personally, so much more than I had before. And I think that's a really lovely thing.
it's been, so that's been very good and very rewarding. Another little highlight was just, was actually stage one. I thought stage one was beautiful, and it wasn't a part of the world I knew at all well, but the Finnish town in Southwold was a lovely little seaside village, really, and it was
Elgar country.
Elgar. Well, I'll never forget driving through with Elgar playing. That was
in
fantastic.
Framlingham,
how fitting!
Spiritual home.
How fitting! Oh, that was Framlingham. Yeah, we that drove into Framlingham with Elgar. Yeah, that was wonderful. Well, listen, thanks for joining us at the OVO Energy Women's Tour, everybody who's been listening. And as Rose says, the feedback's been great in person, you know, at the stage starts, and also, you know, on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, email as well. We've had a lot of feedback, and it's been really generally positive. No, it has. I mean, it has been positive, and we're very grateful.
Positive me and all, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. We're very...
What was our favourite... nickname for the buffalo? I think we need the new one. What was it? Professor Interruptosaurus. I love how they've mashed the worlds of academia.
Yes.
And
it softens the blow, doesn't it?
Paleontology.
If there wasn't somebody to occasionally interrupt, then, you know, who knows? Last night was over an hour. We'd be 2 hours a night, this podcast.
True, yes.
Someone has to keep order here. Shall we hear some of the highlights from some of the riders and other people in the race to play us out?
Let's please.
Let's do that. And thank you very much, Orla.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Rose.
Thank you, Rose.
Thank you both. It's been wonderful.
Hi, I'm Kristina Vadoma. I'm riding for Canyon SRAM Women's Cycling Team. And my highlight of the race was seeing Laura after fourth stage. Yeah, I feel like... this race connected us or let us find each other. So every single time when I even think about UK, she's in my mind. So I feel like we are riding together here.
I'm Mel Lowther and I ride for Story Racing. My highlight of the week has been just being able to race and get stuck in at a Women's World Tour. It's a bit of a higher level than I'm used to. It's been really tough, but it's been good racing.
My name is Susanne Andersen and I'm riding for Team High Tech Products, and my highlights of the week has for sure been all the people that have been out cheering for us and how well organized this race has been, and then also this stage today, it was really beautiful. And
I'm Georgia Williams, I'm from Richardson Scott team. My highlight from the week would be Sarah Roy's win on stage 3. Yeah, she's always been so close lately to podiums, and she did so many top 10 finishes, so to see her win was awesome.
My name's Natalie Grintzer, I ride for WNT Rota Pro Cycling. Probably my favourite thing this year at the Women's Tour, again the same as last year, is just the crowds and the people that are here, and the fact also we're again supporting breast cancer with the ribbons is a really nice touch as well, just gives us some extra fight and motivation.
I'm EJ Harris, I race for Story Racing, and the standout thing is that all six girls are still intact and upright, which is something to be said in this race.
My name is Cecilia Trub-Ludwig, and my highlight is that there's so many spectators out on the course, and especially the school children. It's a cool race, and we really love to come back to this race.
Rebecca Durrell from Story Racing. I haven't had a good week on the bike, so I've taken my highlights in the post-race food. I've literally rolled in last on pretty much every day.
A cycling podcast, Femina, in association with Rafa. From grand tours to group rides, the Champs-Élysées to coffee stops, Rafa exists to celebrate the world's most beautiful sport.
You've been listening to the cycling podcast Femina at the OVO Energy Women's Tour. Thanks to our sponsors Rafa, Skoda and Science and Sport. The music in this episode is by Glass Pear and bensound.com. Thanks to them. This episode was produced by Jonathan Rowe.